Hi everyone, this is Dr. Margaret Paul, and I'm pleased to be here with you for this webinar on creating health and well-being. So I will be discussing that for a part of this 45 minutes, and about halfway through I'm going to share with you some of the support that we offer you. You don't have to buy anything from us to get great value out of tonight's class. So I'm wondering how important health and well-being is to you. I'd like you to think about that for a moment. Is this really important to you, or are there other things that you find way more important than creating health and well-being in your life? So there are two different parts of us that are usually in charge of whether health and well-being are important to us. And so first I'm going to talk about what we call in inner bonding the loving adult. And the loving adult is who we are when we're connected with a spiritual source of guidance. We're connected with our higher selves, higher wisdom, inner wisdom, whatever it is you want to call that, God, spirit. But we're connected with something other than our own limited mind, because our limited mind is programmed with a lot of false beliefs. So when the loving adult is in charge, we tend to be concerned about health, because the loving adult is in the intention to learn about what is in our highest good. And so when we're in a loving adult state, we are very concerned with our health and well-being. But unfortunately, oftentimes we're in what we call the wounded self state. And the wounded self is concerned primarily with avoiding feelings, avoiding pain, finding ways out of feeling pain. So this is where a lot of addictions come in. This is where people act out in ways that create an unhealthy body, that create a lack of well-being. In your attempts to avoid pain, you might be doing a lot of things that actually create even more pain and a lack of health and well-being. So when you're concerned, when your primary intention is to avoid pain, then you might not be very devoted to your health and well-being. When your primary intention is to be loving to yourself, then you will find it easy to support your health and well-being. So I'd like to talk about three areas that need to be attended to create health and well-being. The first one I want to talk about is nutrition, what you put into your body. And obviously most of you do know that there is a connection between what you put in your body and your level of health. Our bodies are not designed to handle things like pesticides and colors and preservatives and refined foods. You know, God did not create us to handle that. And so when we put food into our body that's not fresh and clean, then it puts a huge stress on the body, and it undermines our health and well-being. So I've been very, very interested in nutrition for the last 50 years. I was a sickly child and hated being sick, and so in my early 20s I started to study nutrition, and ended up throwing everything out of my kitchen and going to the one little health food store at that time and just buying fresh, local, organic food. So I've been eating that way for most of my life, and it has paid off hugely, because I don't suffer from any of the maladies that people my age usually suffer from. No diabetes, heart disease, arthritis, cancer, none of that. So, and I have a huge amount of energy. So I know from how I've been eating all these years that what you put in your body has a huge, huge effect on your health. So that's the first prong. Now the second prong is exercise. Our bodies are meant to move. And we're supposed to, you know, before we lived on farms and we did a lot of heavy work. Lots of times now people are, you know, sitting at desks and not doing not moving. And so one of the things, again, that I learned a long time ago is that what I do for exercise has to be something that I love to do. I don't love going to work out at a gym. Some people might. I don't love it. So I found that I love fast walking, and I actually do my inner bonding process while I walk, and I walk my dogs. And so I've been doing that for many, many years, every single day, half an hour in the morning, fast walking, and that has kept my body in good shape. So I want to encourage you to find the form of exercise that you love, something you can keep up, not something you think you should do, but something you want to do, something you get a lot of joy out of doing. So that's the second prong of good health. And the third prong is your state of mind. And this is probably the most important of all of them, is your state of mind. Because when you're operating out of your wounded self, you're going to create stress. And the research indicates that stress is responsible for 90% of illness. So whether it's stress from the food you put in your body, or stress from the junk food you put in your body, or stress from the junk thoughts you put in your mind, it's stress that causes most illness and lack of well-being. And this is where inner bonding comes in, because inner bonding is a fantastic process for dealing with stress. Inner bonding is a process that helps you understand what you're thinking that's causing your stress, and how to access your higher wisdom to help you come into truth. Because when you're in truth, you're not in stress. You can't be in stress and in truth at the same time. And so the state of mind is really, really incredible. An interesting thing is that I read some research recently in a book called Outliers. Some of you might have read that. And he starts with a story at the very beginning where there's these group of Italians lived in a little town in Italy, and they were quarry workers. And they decided in the 1800s to come to America. A few of them came, and they settled in a little town in Pennsylvania, and then a few more came. Pretty soon, 2,000 of them were in this little town, which they named after their town in Italy. And most of them stay. They still live in this town. And one day, a couple of doctors were talking over lunch, and one of them said, you know, the people from this town, I never see anybody in their 60s that has heart disease or cancer, any of these. They all seem to just die of old age. And the other doctor said, gee, I wonder why that is. I'm going to do some research. So he starts to go into town and does this research, and he looks at their diet. And they weren't eating particularly well. And they were overweight, and they didn't get enough exercise. I mean, they were just living normal junky diets the way most people do. So then he looked at genetics. And he looked at some of the people that had left the town and discovered it wasn't genetics, because those people that left the town had the same illnesses, the same heart disease as everybody else. But these people in these towns were living well into their 90s and dying of old age. So why was this? And what it came down to is it came down to community. And community is what made them feel safe. Community took away stress and made them feel like, you know, they could walk outside, somebody would be there that cared about them. Now, I think this is a very, very important thing in terms of understanding health and well-being. I think that, you know, we can eat well, we can get exercise, and we can do inner bonding work, but part of being loving to ourselves is being in community with people who we love and care about, and who others love and care about us. And so, I thought that was just a really, really interesting piece of research, because I think so many of the health problems and stress that we have has been because we don't live in our family communities, and we don't live with people who watch out for us, and we don't feel safe. And feeling safe is essential for health and well-being. Now, there's much we can do on the inner level to create safety. when you practice inner bonding and you connect with your higher source of guidance and you live in truth, you create a sense of safety on the inner level. And part of taking loving action for yourself is finding those people in your life, finding your tribe, finding the people who you love and accept and who love and accept you. And that's not always easy. I think it's a fairly big challenge for many people to reach out and put themselves in the situation of finding the people that make them feel safe. But it is part of loving action to do whatever we need to do, whether it's financial, physical, emotional, spiritual, relational, organizational, to make ourselves feel safe. This is what creates health and well-being. Unfortunately, our wounded self tries to make us feel safe by, you know, alcohol, drugs, sitting in front of a TV, any kind of addiction, to avoid dealing with pain, you know, with the painful feelings of life, avoid dealing with loneliness and heartache and heartbreak and grief, and thinks that by avoiding these deeper feelings, we're going to feel safe. But in fact, it makes us feel more unsafe. And it's this lack of inner safety that erodes our health and well-being. And so the practice of inner bonding is so vital in terms of creating health and well-being, to learn what it means to take care of your body, to learn what it means to take care of yourself financially, to learn what it means to take care of yourself around other people, and to create that sense of safety around you. This is what is so vital, and this is what I've discovered for myself, that when I really attend to, you know, what I put in my body and that I have exercise that I love, and when I know how to take care of myself in relationship to others, and I have people around me that love and care about me, that's when I experience that safety. That's when I have that energy and that health and that well-being. So I really want to encourage all of you, if you don't know the inner bonding process, to take our free course. Those of you that do, to bring a diligent inner bonding practice into your life so that you can live a long life and die of old age. That's what I want to do. I don't want heart disease and cancer and arthritis and diabetes and all that. I want to live a long, long, healthy life and die of old age. And I think we can all do that. Okay, I'm going to take a few minutes right now to talk about what's available for you, and then I'm going to tell you how you can ask questions on the line, and I have questions that people have written in that I will try and answer. So one of the tools we have, one of the products, is called the Intimate Relationship Toolbox, which you can find at innerbonding.com. The first 2 weeks are free. You might want to try it out, and whether or not you have a partner, it's an excellent course for developing intimacy in relationships or dealing with what may be in the way for you of having a good relationship. We also have another product called Dr. Margaret Paul's Permanent Weight Loss course, and that's also a 12-week, just like the relationship is, and you can get the first 2 weeks for free. And that has a lot about health and well-being, as well as how to attain permanent weight loss. And then we have SelfQuest, which, again, if you just go to innerbonding.com, you can click on, or go to selfquest.com, which is a very, very in-depth program for learning inner bonding. And I hope that all of you consider going through SelfQuest, because the feedback that I've gotten from people is that it's really amazing. There is no program like it out there, and it will teach you inner bonding in a very, very deep way. We have our membership site, with a sliding scale. And I've had many, many people, many members who have just completely changed their lives around, healed their relationships, healed their health and well-being by being members on the website. I do individual phone sessions and conjoint sessions. So do the other facilitators. So that's available as well. I do five-day intensives. And the next one is in Colorado in October. You can see all of the events by going to innerbonding.com and clicking on events. And please be sure, if you have not taken our free course, to click on that on the website, as it's a very good course to help you to get into inner bonding. And you can call 888-6-INNER-BOND for any information that you would like. Okay, I am going to take the next half hour to take questions. There's quite a few of you on the line. And if you would like to ask a question, you can press star 7. If you press star 7, it will unmute you, and you will be able to talk. Star 6 mutes you. Star 7 unmutes you. So if there's anybody online that would like to do some work with me, I'd be happy to work with you. And usually it takes people a little bit to warm up to that. So I'm going to take a question that somebody wrote in. So Glenda writes, how much control do we have over creating our own health and well-being? Well, actually, we do have an enormous amount of control. The research indicates that genetics do not play nearly as important a role as people previously thought, that it's much more what I've been telling you. It's much more dealing with stress. And so learning how to deal with stress in your life, physical stress, emotional stress, is vital for health and well-being, and that is your choice. We all have the choice to learn to do that. And so we do have an enormous amount of control. Not total. As I said, the research indicates that 90% of illness is stress, but there's the 10% that comes from, you know, heredity, environmental factors, things like that. So it's not like we have total control, but we do have a lot of control. Okay, is there somebody online that would like to ask a question? Anybody have the courage? It's not, you're not going to get hurt. I will do some work with you. Other people will learn a little bit about working with inner bonding if you want to work with me. And it's very safe. So if any of you would like to press star 7. And meanwhile, I'm going to go on to another question. It's interesting that even though this webinar is on health and well-being, many of you ask questions that have to do with relationships, and of course all of this does have to do with health and well-being. So Michelle asked a question. It's fairly long. I'm going to read it because I think it's an interesting question. Margaret, I'm wondering if you can speak specifically about anger. I've been doing the inner bonding process for several months now and been seeing a therapist in conjunction. One of the things I'm finding is that I have a very angry little girl inside of me. My mother died when I was 15 months old, and my childhood was marked by misunderstandings and misguided efforts by family members to help me. Unfortunately, the family members really didn't understand what I was dealing with, and most of their efforts were spent on getting me to shut up. One of the ways I learned to do that was to use my anger. Anger has allowed me, for nearly 40 years now, to hold in my tears and my hurt. It's become such a habit, in fact, that is how I know when I'm feeling hurt. I feel the anger first. Do you have any specific suggestions for how to honor that anger and help the little girl understand that anger may have been the only way she could cope, and how to help her see another alternative? I fully understand in a cerebral way that focusing on the anger is not allowing me to cry and do the grief work I need to do, but it's still a struggle for me to understand when the anger is justified and appropriate to the current situation and when it's just an old habit. So, Michelle, one of the things that is very important to understand about most anger is that anger is often a projection onto others of your inner child's anger at you. And rather than trying to get away from the anger, what you want to do is open to it, embrace it, and ask your little girl what she's angry at you about. You know, you're asking, you know, when is it justified and appropriate? And I'd like to say that there's two kinds of anger. There's blaming anger, which is what I think you're talking about. And then there's outrage. And outrage is an adult form of anger, a loving adult form of anger, that moves us to take action in the face of injustice. But I don't think that's the kind of anger you're talking about right now. But that is the appropriate form, is when somebody is doing something that's hurtful or unjust, outrage moves you to take action. It's not about yelling at somebody or blaming somebody or trying to control somebody, which is what most anger is. It's a form of control, and it's really not helpful to you. So what I want to encourage you to do is, the moment you feel angry, to go inside and say, what are you angry at me about? And let that little girl talk to you about any way that you're not taking care of yourself. Now, obviously, not letting yourself cry and grieve is unloving to your little girl, but I think before you can get to that, you need to embrace the anger and not try to avoid it. It's informational. All feelings are informational, and anger is a feeling that has much information for you. So I want to encourage you to move into the intention to learn about the anger rather than try and get rid of it, or rather than dump it on somebody else, to learn from it, to open to learning from it. Okay, is there anybody here who would like to work with me? You can press star 7.
I have a question.
Yes, what's your name?
Rana.
Okay, Rana, go ahead.
I guess as just growing up, my defense and how I took care of myself was eating or isolating myself. And I just see right now, even with all the work that I've done on myself, it's so hard to get away from that. I try to isolate. I find excuses for isolating from people, thinking, well, I don't want to get hurt, and I just find myself being alone most of the time. And I don't think I even have the social skills to relate to anyone at this point.
So what you're talking about right now is that your primary intention is to avoid being hurt, right?
Yes.
Okay. And so in the inner bonding process, there's only two intentions, and either the intention is to avoid pain, or the intention is to learn about what's loving to yourself. And so, in order for you to shift out of these addictive patterns, you would have to first shift your intention. You would have to first shift into really being very devoted to what would be loving to yourself. And that means that you would need to, you know, learn to stay more present in your body and be in touch with your feelings. These are all aspects of the inner bonding process. Step one, being present for your feelings, wanting responsibility for them, really learning what you're doing that may be causing your own pain, learning to connect with your higher guidance regarding what would be loving to you. And that's why learning and practicing inner bonding is so powerful. Have you had much practice with inner bonding?
No, I've read a lot of your books, most of your books, but no, I haven't practiced inner bonding.
Okay, so that's what I would suggest to you, because that's what's going to shift this. You know, the isolating or the eating, these are ways that your wounded self has learned to avoid pain. And these are not just going to go away until you develop your loving adult. And that's what the inner bonding process does. It's a process for developing the loving adult through learning to take loving action, through connecting with your source of guidance that lets you in on what loving action is, and having the courage to take loving action. But it's going to come from a shift in your intention. So I really want to suggest that you start to practice inner bonding. You might want to get some facilitation to get you started. But this is what's going to help you move out of these addictive patterns. You know, it's not realistic to give up addictive patterns until we replace them with loving action towards ourselves, because the addictive patterns are the only way you know to feel safe right now. Is that right?
That's true.
Okay.
Yeah.
So instead of judging yourself for them, you need to...
Oh, I do a lot of that.
Well, but you see, I mean, that's what people do in their wounded self. They soothe themselves with their addictions, and then they judge themselves for that, which creates, you know, their inner child feeling so bad and so unloved that then you want to go to more addictions. And so the first thing you might want to start to do is to notice your self-judgments, because this is very, very unloving towards yourself.
Uh-huh.
And that's a place that you could start, is just to notice your self-judgments.
Okay? Thank you.
You're very welcome. Is there anybody else online that would like to work with me?
Can I ask another question since no one's volunteering?
Sure, honey, go ahead.
Just related to what I said, so is it even possible to get into a healthy relationship until you work on all these issues?
Well, you know, it's not realistic to think that, it's not realistic to wait until everybody has worked on their issues. Part of what happens in relationship is that we use the relationship to learn, to grow, to heal. So that's part of what a good relationship does, is it touches off our issues. And, you know, if you're devoted to learning, if you're devoted to learning how to take responsibility for yourself and you're with somebody who's also devoted to that, there is so much that you can learn in a relationship. I don't suggest that people wait. Now, it's true that you're going to attract people at your common level of woundedness. In other words, you know, you're avoiding your pain with your addictions, and you're going to attract somebody else who's also avoiding their pain in their ways. But the real important thing in terms of a relationship is whether or not you and a partner are open to learning. That's the real issue. And that's what I work with people on, is to help them to move into their own intention to learn and to help them discern whether the person that they're thinking of being in partnership with is also open to learning, because that's what's going to heal the dysfunction. I mean, everybody's got dysfunction. Everybody's got abandonment issues. Everybody's got engulfment issues. Everybody's got a lot of deep fear. And everybody's got a wounded self that acts out and protects and tries to control and gives themselves up and gets angry. And I mean, everybody's got that. And so it's not realistic to think that you're going to get yourself completely healthy before being in a relationship. But what is vital is for you to move into an intention to learn and then to understand how to discern whether or not somebody else is in an intention to learn. And then the relationship becomes a wonderful vehicle for healing and growth.
Yes, it does. Because as you said, I think I get attracted to people that exactly they have my own issues or unavailable in some sort of way, and I'm just trying to break that pattern.
Well, honey, in order to break that pattern, you need to really learn and practice inner bonding and move into a deep intention to learn about loving yourself. That's what it's going to take. Okay, and then you're going to start attracting a different kind of person.
Thank you. This is very, very helpful.
You're welcome. Is there somebody else online that would like to work with me? Okay, I do have some questions here. This is from Jim. Hi, Jim. Jim says, I would really appreciate your thoughts on how to block out the past and focus on the future using inner bonding. Now, the thing is that the wounded self in all of us is always focused on either past or future. And this is a way of avoiding the present moment. It's the loving adult who's in the present moment. And so when you're really in a true intention to learn about loving yourself, you're not focused on the past, and you're not focused on the future. Focusing on past and future is always about some form of control. The wounded self in all of us is about control. We focus on the past so that we think if we can figure it out or judge ourselves enough or see what we did wrong, then maybe we can not do it, and then we'll have control over the future. We think about the future to try and figure out what to do so that we can have control over outcomes. None of that works. The past does not give us control. The future does not give us control. What we do have control over is our own intention. We have control over whether or not we are focusing on past and future, or whether we're in this present moment. Really, all there is this moment right now. And this moment contains all the information you need. And so when you find yourself in past or future, you need to realize that you're in your wounded self. You're trying to control something. You're trying to avoid your feelings now. That's usually what the wounded self is about, is that you're trying to avoid whatever it is you're feeling right now and avoid taking responsibility for those feelings. So, Jim, it's not about blocking out the past, and it's not about focusing on the future. It's about being present in this now moment, being with your feelings. And sometimes the feelings may be very difficult. You know, those of you that know inner bonding know that there's really two kinds of feelings. There's the core feelings of life that, I mean, we all have to experience these because it's life. This is the loneliness and the heartache and the heartbreak and the grief and the helplessness over others. And these feelings we could not feel as we were growing up, and so we learned many ways to protect against them. And one way is by focusing on past or future. Another way is being in addictions. And another way is judging ourselves. And these are all ways to avoid embracing these feelings and allowing ourselves to cry, to grieve, allowing these feelings to move through us so that they don't get stuck and cause illness. Because these feelings, these particular feelings of loneliness and heartache and heartbreak, can cause a lot of illness in us. And everything we do to avoid these feelings causes a lot of stress in our body. And so when our intention is to avoid these feelings, then we behave in addictive ways, we judge ourselves, we make others responsible, and what we create is a whole set of wounded feelings, anxiety, depression, guilt, shame, anger. You know what, we've got somebody in the background, and if you will please press *6 to mute yourself. *6, please. Thank you. When we try and protect ourselves, we create all these feelings, anxiety, depression, guilt, shame, anger, and that also creates a lot of stress. But those are feelings we're causing by our own self-abandonment. That's what causes these difficult, painful feelings. We abandon ourselves because we want to avoid the core feelings of life, but in doing so, we create an enormous amount of stress, which has a huge, huge effect on our health and well-being. So the challenge for all of us is to learn to stay in the present moment, embracing our true feelings with compassion, with caring, with understanding, with gentleness towards ourselves. The moment we go into self-judgment, we cause anxiety and depression in ourselves. And you know, it's very sad to me that so many people go on medication to to put a lid on their anxiety and depression, because these feelings are so informational. They're letting us know that we're abandoning ourselves rather than loving ourselves. We need that information. We need to know when we're abandoning ourselves. Okay, is there anybody else online that would like to do some work with me?
Hello.
Yes, hi. What's your name?
Hi, it's Melanie over here in Pagosa Springs. How are you tonight?
Hi, Melanie. You're right near me, huh?
Indeed I
I'm
am.
I'm in Durango.
I know. I love that. I only wish we could, it was a little bit closer. You've been so right on with everything you've been speaking about tonight. I'm trying to figure out, having ADD causes you to do insane things like burn pots of water and turn hummingbird foods into big piles of brown goo and leave your dogs outside and forget to put money in the envelope when you make the bank deposit and all these wonderful things. And it's like been on steroids for the last couple of weeks. I've done every one of those things 4 or 5 times in the last 5 or 10 days.
Uh-huh.
I'm having trouble being kind to myself about it because I'm creating major problems in doing it, you know, or the dog could get hurt or we could catch the house on fire. How do I love myself and forgive myself in the face of repetitive, chaotic insanity? I don't know how to do it. I really get
angry.
Well,
of course, that's a big challenge, Melanie. Let me ask you a couple of questions. What is your diet like?
Normally it's plant-based and very, very healthy. It's a little off for financial reasons right now, so it's not as good as it could be, but it's still, for the average person, it's a very good diet.
Uh-huh. And do you eat organic and avoid processed foods?
When finances are better, I do. Right now, I'm not able to do the organic. I'm not able to do the pure fruits and juices the way I would like to. You know, I like to make all my own stuff in the Vitamix, but I can't do it right now, unfortunately. So there's a little more, you know, like Amy's organic frozen dinner. I'm doing that instead of a nice regular home cooked meal.
Okay. And do you notice that? Do you notice when you're not eating the fresh organic stuff that you notice that the ADD is any worse?
I think it is.
I
wasn't sure if there was a direct correlation, but to me there is. And I have an intolerance for wheat as well. It's not an allergy, but it's an intolerance. And when I eat wheat, it tends to flare things up too. Yeah, anything that aggravates my body.
Yeah. So what you want to be doing is really watching that, watching grains in general, and watching sugar. Really not putting sugar in your system and trying to eat as cleanly as you can, because that certainly, for people who have a sensitive system, that can cause the ADD to get a whole lot worse. So I really want to encourage you to notice the correlation there, and you might want to do some research online about the relationship between food and ADD, because there is a huge relationship. So secondly, you're talking about forgiving yourself. And the thing that you need to look at is, what is the hope of judgment? When you're judging yourself for these things that you've done, what's the hope of judging yourself?
Oh, wow. That's a really good question, because there isn't any, is there?
Well, there is. The wounded self does believe. The wounded self has
really?
Big false beliefs about self-judgment, about what will happen if you judge yourself harshly enough. Then what?
Oh, then you'll get better. You'll
that's
fix yourself.
Right.
You'll pay. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what the wounded self believes, that judgment is going to make you do it right. Is that right?
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. So this is one of the huge false beliefs of the wounded self, that if you judge yourself harshly enough, you'll get yourself to do it right. You'll get yourself to stop, making the mistakes or whatever. But what happens when you judge yourself is that it creates so much stress inside, because it's such a deep level of self-abandonment, that it actually causes the ADD to get worse. Because if you start to notice what happens when you judge yourself, you will see that it causes a tremendous amount of anxiety.
Yes, it does.
And so when we're anxious, we don't function well. When we create that anxiety, what happens is that we go into a fight or flight response or a freeze response, and that stress response causes the blood to come out of the brain and brings it into the arms and legs for fight or flight. And so, you know, the very thing you're needing, which is to think clearly, is the very thing that's not going to happen when you judge yourself, because you put yourself into fight or flight when that's what's happening. So I want to really encourage you to notice all that, notice the anxiety, notice what happens, that it makes the ADD a lot worse. And as you start to make these connections, you will be able to be aware enough to judge yourself less and less. Years ago, I used to judge myself very harshly. And then I started just noticing myself, judging myself without judging myself for judging myself. And then I eventually was able to just completely stop judging myself. I don't do it. Took me about a year of noticing it, and then I stopped doing it because I realized there's no point in this. It just makes me feel terrible, and it takes the clarity out of my thinking. So that's what I want to encourage you to do. Start to notice your self-judgment and see if every time you notice it, you can move into compassion for yourself. Okay, Melanie?
Oh, thank you. This is beautiful. Yeah, this is big light bulb moment.
You're welcome.
Bless
You're
you.
Welcome. So I'm going to take one more question that somebody wrote in.
Can you hear me, doctor?
Pardon me?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Who is this?
This is Casey.
Oh, okay, Casey. I'll take your question.
All right. Well, I actually typed in a question and sent it in prior to...
I see that. Would you like me to try and answer this question?
I would.
Okay, so your question is, how does one learn to live with the injustice of a court system that inflicts unacceptable pain due to unwelcome separation and divorce from one's beloved, who has, after crying wolf, run away with our child, refusing to, after 12 years of daily interaction, have any contact? It has left me devastated. Casey, this is such a very, very sad situation. And, you know, this is heartbreaking. And the only way that we can actually deal with heartbreak is with deep, deep compassion for ourselves and a connection with a higher source of guidance. But it's not something you're going to be able to do alone. You're going to need some support for this, Casey, because this is a devastating situation for you. Just devastating. To run away with your child is just devastating. And so I want to encourage
really,
you.
It's just like, you know, so many, so everything that I've read, you know, with regards to life, it's really important to be aware and to love yourself. But the more aware you become, you also become more aware of what's really important in life. And of course, you know, the answer to that is your family and your children and what can
right.
be more important than that. So I have... you know, been somewhat naive and too much of a simpleton a little bit too long in my life, and I was following principles and beliefs that had been ingrained in me a long, long time. And this whole mess surfaced when the housing market collapsed in early 2008. And when that happened, I ended up, you know, realizing that I didn't know myself that well and that I had focused almost exclusively on taking care of all the externals in my life, and had neglected, you know, had been so darn responsible with the finances and the faithfulness and the reliability, but neglected really getting to know, you know, me. What do I believe? What is important to me? And how conscious I am of how I show up in the world and the effect that
well,
I have.
Casey, we don't have a lot of time left, but I really want to encourage you to learn and practice inner bonding, because that is what's going to help you to learn about yourself and to discover who you are and what's important to you and to find the strength to, you know, manage the pain that you're in And also I want to encourage you to get some help with that because, as I said, this is a very, very difficult situation, not something we're going to resolve in just a few minutes here. But thank you, Casey, for your question. And as I said, there was one other question I wanted to address, so I'm going to go over a little bit. This is Sandra. When people lash out on purpose, how do you come away intact and not crawl into a shell and disappear or lose yourself to doubt and self-incrimination? So obviously when people lash out, it's very painful to be at the other end of people lashing out. But the thing, Sandra, that's so important here is for you to recognize that it's not about you. When people lash out, this is a statement about themselves. They're in pain. They're not handling it. They're blaming you. They're trying to control you when they're lashing out. And the first thing that you need to be doing is going inside to your little girl inside and to say to her, this is not about you. This has nothing to do with you. You cannot cause another person to purposely lash out. But what you can do is to learn not to take it personally. And that's a lot of what inner bonding does, is it helps you to really define your own worth, really connect with your own self, so that you cannot take, you can learn to not take other people's unloving behavior personally. So I want to thank you all for being with me. I'm going to unmute so I can say goodnight to all of you. There we go. Good night, everybody. Thank you for joining me.
All right.
Good night, Margaret.
All of you being on the call and online, and I hope you all have a wonderful evening. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, Margaret.
Thank you.
You're welcome.